welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from an island chain paradise somewhere in the South Pacific that has such high radiation levels that everybody has a part-time job as an energy saver light bulb, which is good for the environment. And my very special guest is Rick Simpson, a man who knows all about radiation and how to cure the cancer that it causes. Welcome to the show, bro.
Great to be back with you, Vinny. And brother, you certainly rock. There's no question about that.
I do. I rock so hard, I'm frickin' granite.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Okay, no, so cancer rates on the rise. We've got in New Zealand, I'm not sure if it's between one in two people getting cancer or one in three. It's certainly not freaking being solved. And it's a friend of mine went out and went to a person who's collecting for the Cancer Society and tried to confront them about the suppressed cancer cures and so on and so forth, Rick. Right. And of course they just say, no, I don't believe that, right? As if your belief is strong enough to counter scientifically verified evidence, to counter 100% undeniable proof. Mm-hmm. I don't think that people have any capacity for real thought anymore. And indeed, this is one of the real problems with getting the truth out about things, is people can't even believe it, even if they see it.
You're quite right, Vinny. And, in our suppressed media, when I got back here, well, actually, before I came back to Croatia, I was talking to some of the activists over here. And I asked them, I said, what is any progress been made since I left last November? And they said, oh, yes. They said, over here now, all the magazines are writing about it, the papers, and there's TV shows. So they said, if you come back, that there'd be a lot of people interested in interviewing you. So, Canada, they have near television. It's the last thing in the world they would want, the great country of Canada. But when I came back to Croatia, it was no time. I did interviews with the biggest TV network here, and I've done interviews with the biggest newspapers here now, and I've got so many interviews coming up that it's just unbelievable. All the music magazines, they're all writing about this. And I was so happy that, when I came back, last year, there was hardly anyone here producing oil. But when I came back to Zagreb, people walked up to me in restaurants and on the street, and they say, well, are you Rick Simpson? And I'd say, well, of course. And, I'm an oil maker. Would you sample my oil? And, of course, I'm happy to do that. So, I went out and I sampled oil from four different suppliers. And I'm very happy to say that it was all excellent oil. So it's nice to know that some people are doing it right. So it's been what's happening right now in all of these countries here in Europe, they're just legalizing one after another. And there's no holding this back now, Vinny. The medicine is right on the horizon, and in no time I think we're going to have it.
You know what? I stand corrected. Have you noticed, people lose hope after having a few bad experiences, and then they forget about all the good stuff that's going on.
That's quite true. Yeah. But, I've seen nothing but good stuff since I came back, to this beautiful country. And, in Slovenia, next month they're putting a big proposal, into the government. And they're looking at legalizing and allowing people to grow their own medicines, which, is a natural right. We all have the right to heal ourselves, for God's sakes. And especially when you're using a plant that is harmless, non-addictive, and it's been used as a medicine for thousands of years. Who has the right to tell us we can't use this? So I think it's, get the people to stand up for themselves, tell their governments, that don't ask the government, demand your right to use this medicine and demand that they leave you alone.
Well, as somebody famously quoted, there's two types of people in the world, those who want to be left alone and those who won't leave you alone.
You're quite right, brother.
It's extraordinary as well. I mean, wouldn't you agree that despite the fact that there is this giant cancer industry with all of this funding, all of this propaganda mechanisms, plus this giant section of the population who are incapable of any kind of thought, let alone believing things, that portion still exists, yet we're having success on every front nonetheless. It just shows what a paper tiger they are.
That's exactly right. And it shows, like, you know, the shows like you do. I mean, this is what's waking the people up, these internet shows. And, you know, like you and David Icke, Max Egan, you know, like, I mean, these people are really shaking the world up. And they all support the use of this medicine. And, I mean, the internet has been the key to this. The mainstream media would have never, ever allowed this. But now we've basically surrounded them with the truth. And they really have nowhere to turn. And especially when I see countries like Croatia, where they actually put me on national television on quite a few different occasions now, you know, so many people in this country are aware of the truth. And the pressure is coming more and more on the government. So I don't think they have any choice. You know, they have to start doing what's right for their people. And healing them is definitely what's right.
Yeah, well, they either have that choice to abandon what they're doing now, which is denying doing what's right, essentially, or they can heat it up a little and do something even more wrong. Like, for example, have people whacked, or have companies bought out. Because this happened in Australia, for example, like a little off topic, but climate change in Australia became a big thing when Julia Gillard got elected, promising that she would never, ever put in a carbon tax. And the very first act in Parliament that she passed was a carbon tax after she signed a deal with the Greens in order to get power. The very first thing. What was funny, it was not just that, but these big magnates started buying up all of the media throughout Australia and propagating the carbon propaganda. So right. That's what happens when you have the a big lie, and then you want to cover the lie up by buying out all of the people that might actually be able to tell you the truth. And I certainly hope somebody tries and buys me soon enough. You know, I'm sick of living on the bones of my ass, you know.
I don't think you're for sale, Vinny. You're like me. You're too stupid to be bought off.
Yeah. Too reckless. Too reckless, you know. It's just this is the truth. This is what's right. Let's do it anyway. In fact, somebody asked me today, bro. One person offered to pay me to do stuff, and I'm like, I really don't want to. And another person said, hey, Vinny, you can't be making enough money off of doing what you're doing now. You need to go get a job. And I said, well, actually, no, I don't. I haven't needed any other income other than really this show since midway through 2012, I think. And they're saying that, oh, you probably don't have enough of a big YouTube following. I've got 10,000 plus subscribers. I've got more than the mainstream media does in New Zealand. Okay, trust me. This and you said it yourself. This radio show and radio shows like mine and people like me are the very reason why the world is now actually changing and seeing these great things happen. It is when an individual decides that I am not going to get a slave job, I am not going to toe the line, I am going to do what is right. Even if I have to suffer for it, even if I have to flee my homeland some kind of refugee, I don't care. I will do what is right regardless. You know, I tried working, you know, I tried going to two job interviews. I had a panic attack once before even getting the job and once before even showing up for the first day of work. I can't work, bro. Not for a slave company anyway.
I don't blame you, Vinny. It was funny here. I was doing an interview in Zagreb just a few days ago, and the journalist looked at me and he said, has the pharmaceutical industry ever approached you? And I said, oh, yes, I've been approached by more than one pharmaceutical company. And he said, well, what did they say? And I said, well, one offered me 1 million shares if I was willing to work with them. And he looked at me, he said, so you're working with the pharmaceutical companies? And I said, no, I refused it. And he looked at me and he said, you turned down 1 million shares in a pharmaceutical company? And I said to him, I said, look, I said, this medicine belongs to the people. It doesn't belong to some damn drug company, and it doesn't belong to any government. That's the reason I refused their offer. And, I mean, to be honest, Vinny, I want to see the pharmaceutical industry put out of business.
Bang!
Yes,
a double tap to the cerebellum.
You're quite right, brother. But it's like I said, you know, it's just wonderful to see it spreading the way it is now. I mean, there's a new wellness center down in Peru. Some friends of mine are down there now, and they're treating people with the oil. I had to laugh. The first patient came from Canada. They flew all the way to Peru to get the oil. But it's opening up everywhere. I did the speaking tour back in August in British Columbia. And beautiful. That's a beautiful province. I've never been there before, but it is every bit, you know, when you see the mountains and the ruggedness of that country out there, it's just beautiful. But we covered 2,600 miles in an old motorhome, me and another fellow. And we put on a lot of events. I got to meet Dr. Neil McKinney. He's a naturopathic oncologist. A wonderful guy, and he come up and he gave me his book. He's got a great book out on the subject, and he told me when he gave me the book, he said on the next edition, he said there's going to be a big chapter in there about that, about this oil. And then I spoke at an establishment called Weeds in Vancouver, and Dr. Paul Hornby was also there, so you know, we did the speaking engagement together. We spoke twice, and after we were done, like Paul, it's quite a contrast because I'm somewhat like you. I'm quite loud and I'm a bit outspoken, but Paul is a very soft-spoken man, but he is truly an expert in this field. So after we were done with the lectures, Paul and I went down to a restaurant, and he sat there and he looked at me and he said, "Rick," he said, "how did you come up with all of this?" And I said, "Well, I just followed gut instinct. You know, I said I was injured. I needed an answer, you know, to save my life. And I said, I found it." And he looked at me, and he had his laptop with him, and he said, "Well, let me show you where your gut instinct led you." And at first, I didn't know what to make of it. And then he turned the computer around, and he showed me this screen. And there was all of, it was like a screen full of charts. And, you know, all of these different levels. And all of a sudden, right in the middle, there was one that went right up off the scale. So Paul sat there and he explained, he said, this oil, you know, was made by, he started telling me who made the different oils. And when he got to the one in the middle, he looked at me and he said, "This is your oil." He said, "I made it myself." And he said, "When I tested it," he said, "I couldn't believe what I was seeing." He said, that simple method you showed everybody how to do, he said, "It achieves perfect decarboxylation." And, you know, so that, you know, it makes the medicine, and it puts the medicine in its most medicinal state. So well, Paul said perfect, he would be happy.
If it's got perfect decarboxylation, that would explain why the pharmaceutical companies are so discombobulated by it.
But Paul said he would be happy to work with me in the future. And, you know, with the help of Dr. Hornby and people like Dr. Lemire Hanouch, in no time, you know, we could bring this medicine down and you know, and perfect it in a very short time. Now, I mean, in the future, I want to grow the most medicinal strains in the world and, you know, do some, I'm a breeder anyway, so I'd like to do some crossing. And then determine which strains work the best for what conditions. And then with the help of Dr. Hornby and Dr. Hanouch, we could sit down and basically make this medicine tailor-made. You know, certain cannabinoid levels, you know, whatever is the best cannabinoid levels to treat any different illness. And so it's a very simple thing. But, you know, like medicine made to order, well, there would be a price tag, I guess, attached to that. So, I mean, I don't think any of us should ignore the healing power of the plant itself. And if you got the right strain, brother, you can heal just about anything.
I believe so. Now, interestingly enough, if cannabis oil can heal everything, Then have a look at what pharmaceutical drugs you use. They use oil. In fact, this is where originally the pharmaceutical industry began, was with the Rockefeller U.S. Standard Oil Company. They had all of this waste product, this waste byproduct, and they didn't have any idea what to do with it. And they thought, man, this will kill anything it touches. We can't bury it. We can't put it in the water. We can't put it on the land. We can't put it in the sea. Let's turn it into drugs and make people swallow it.
Well, that's what they did, Vinny. That's exactly right.
And now, the medical system in the United States is the second leading cause of death.
I disagree with that. I think they're the leading cause of death.
But this is only including that which is properly prescribed. This doesn't include any accidents, and this doesn't include unreported reactions and so on and so forth. So you're correct. Even by that, this is their own admission that we're the second leading cause of death. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's a world that has a lot of people twisting the truth, and it's very, very sad to see. Justice is not a natural thing, ladies and gentlemen. When was the last time you saw a gazelle beat the crap out of a lion because he ate his little baby? It doesn't frickin' happen in nature, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the case. You have to artificially make justice happen. If it's unjust that people are dying left, right, and center because all the cancer cures are being suppressed, then you have to make the cancer cure available. You have to give people the knowledge, and you have to basically give of yourself in order to ensure that the truth and justice comes into view. Anybody else who says different is freaking kidding themselves.
Well, you know, you're so right, Vinny. There's so many people out there now twisting the truth and, you know, their hidden agendas and things like that. And, well, just recently I was contacted by Cannabis Nation Radio in California, and they wanted me to do an interview, so I agreed. And about 2 days later, you know, they were only going to give me about 30 minutes airtime. And about 2 days later, they sent me this email, and they said, send us the 20 questions you would like to be asked. And as soon as I read that, the alarm bells went off. And, of course, I went into their archives, and I looked, and I said, who are these people? Who have they been interviewing? Well, there it was, you know, High Times Magazine, you know, and the editor of High Times, and Miss High Times, you know, of course, that's very important. And Lester Grinspoon, you know, all of these top experts. What a joke. So it just sickened me when I seen it. And knowing that they are allowing these people to provide their own questions, I mean, that's not an interview, for God's sakes. That's a platform to spread your own propaganda. So I came back and I told Mike Bolton that I would have nothing to do with their show. And, of course, that made Mr. Bolton quite mad. Matter of fact, he called me an arrogant bastard. But I couldn't care less what Mr. Bolton thinks. But when they aired their show, they turned around, and the whole show was an hour devoted to trashing me. They came at me in every direction you could. They said that, you know, Jack Herer had never wanted me to be the leader of the movement, and that, you know, I was basically lying about all of that. And it was just one thing after another for a solid hour. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. So actually here a while ago, or shortly after that, I put a clip up on the, well, half an hour clip up on the internet called Rick Simpson Debunks Cannabis Nation Radio. And in that video, I challenged them all, Grinspoon, the whole damn bunch of them. You know, come on air on a live show and take me on. And of course they won't do that. Because I'll sink their boat in 2 seconds, and they know it. But there is so many people out there spreading this lies and propaganda. It just makes me sick, you know. But in the end, once the public wakes up, I don't know where these people are going to hide, because, you know, they're causing this to continue. You know, we should be working together to bring this medicine to the people that need it. Instead, they're just playing games with it the way they always have. And I am damn disappointed in all of these researchers that have known the truth about this substance for decades, but yet they held it back. They took their research grants and they kept their mouths shut. Now, I mean, how much trust can we put in people like that? And why is it a guy like me with a brain injury and a grade 8 education has to be the one to bring this, you know, forward so the public will learn the truth?
Well, because you're the one with the power to. Simple as that, you know. That's one of the other lines from Team America, World Police. Why do I have to save the world? Why is it my responsibility? Because, well, like it or not, you're the one with the power, that, you know. But and that's the interesting thing, isn't it? Have you noticed? Every single thing that really gets accomplished that's really great for humanity is usually triggered and put into place by one person.
Well, they say, you know, just a small group of people can change the world. And, well, it's not
the only thing that ever has.
I mean, I don't put myself as being any more important than anyone else in the movement, but now there's I've met so many wonderful activists. And this medicine, the use of it is spreading so rapidly now. You know, we have millions of people now using the medicine in all countries. And, you know, and the results themselves, for God's sakes, you know. Well, you know, the medical system, they don't heal anything. And this wonderful medication seems to be a treatment that's effective for practically every disease I've ever heard of.
Mm. And we know that that's the case because you've actually cured people with every single frickin' disease that you could ever think
well.
Of. You know? It's like somebody comes up to you, oh, you can't cure this, really. Talk to these 10,000 people that I've cured of it.
Right.
Yeah. You can't cure that, though. Oh, really? Here's the 3,000 people that we've cured of it. But surely you can't cure this. Here's 2,000 people that we've cured of it. You're going to run through. What are you going to do before you accept the truth? Are you going to run through every single conceivable, identifiable disease in a textbook and find out whether or not it works before you start to accept the fact?
Yes. Well, you know, like last year when I was here in Croatia, there was a meeting arranged for the advisors of the Minister of Health here. So I went right to their government building, went in and had the meeting. And the minute I walked through the door, it was a woman doctor, and she looked at me and she said, she spoke good English, and she said, well, you know, this drug is addictive. And I looked at her and I said, it's been known all through history that cannabis is not addictive, dear. And I said, even the Canadian government admitted back in 2000 that it's non-addictive. Well, then she turned right around and she said, well, someone died from it. And there was a computer sitting on her desk, and I pointed at the computer. I said, show me, like that. And she looked at me and she said, well, it was a synthetic cannabinoid that a pharmaceutical industry had produced. And I said, well, I'm not surprised that it killed someone, but the cannabinoids from the plant do not cause death, and it's that simple. And she was sitting there looking at me, and I said, don't you use one place, do you?
And sorry. Can you repeat that? You kind of cut out of it. She was sitting there looking at you, and what?
And I asked her, I said, you know, you don't even know why this law was put in place. And I said, did Croatia do a study on cannabis to determine the dangers? And I said, no, you didn't. Well, you know, what your government did, they did what the big money told them, and they put these laws in place, and look at the destruction and harm it's caused. And she just, I mean, she believed me. There was no question, because she followed me right out to the outside door, you know, talking to me. So I think it did have an impact on her. But now, like I said, with so many people in Croatia, you know, knowing the truth, I think it's just a matter of time, and the government here is going to have to act, and I think in just the next few months.
You know what? I think lies are no match for the truth, provided the truth is said in an equal quantity, right? Because what we started off with, I think, say, in the Harry J. Anslinger, I love it how his middle name was J. he came out in a legalized pot. You know, you have the Reefer Madness, these massive propaganda campaigns of which there was virtually no rival. And the amount of people that were telling the truth, one out of a million. Now it's starting to reverse a little bit. I think once the point comes where there's 500,000 people telling the truth and 500,000 people telling the lie, the people who are telling the lie, nobody's going to believe them at all.
they'll just fade away, Vinny. You know, and like I said, I honestly do think that it is, you know, I mean, United States, one state after another is legalizing now, and I think in a short time, probably within the next year to 2 years, every state in the union is going to be legal. And when that occurs, I don't know what Mr. Obama is going to do, because they're going to want to hang him, and I don't blame them. But I really think it's going to happen in one of these countries with a small population, like here, like Croatia or Slovenia. And, I mean, the minute they let us do this and start treating people openly, then the rest of the countries are just going to fall like dominoes. Because, I mean, everyone wants, you know, good medicine, medicine that works. And this is the ultimate answer for preventative medicine or for healing yourself with a terminal disease that you now have. You know, what better medicine to treat yourself with, for God's sakes?
Yeah, I do believe you're correct. If America completely legalizes pot, the rest of the country's legislation will fall like dominoes, and Americans will certainly order a lot more of it as well.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't want to be the Canadian Prime Minister in the future because, I mean, it's like I said, I started all this in Canada back in 2003. And, well, you know, there it is. 10 years have gone by. All of these people have suffered and died because, you know, the government wouldn't do the right thing for the people. So I really don't think the Canadian people are going to be too damn happy with their political parties and their political leaders. So the change is coming. But again, I hope we can accomplish it without any violence. It would be nice if we did something right for a change. You know? Yeah.
But, wouldn't it be nice if instead of people suffering and dying, people got healed and stopped feeling so much pain? You know, I mean, it's just... Doesn't that seem pretty straightforward? I would have thought so, but apparently some people just don't believe that that's a logical thing.
You're quite right, brother. You know, this is the hard part of this medicine. It's all the whole thing is so simple, and the medicine is so easy to make that people, they can't believe, you know, what I'm telling them. And they you know, really, in many cases, people have to, they have to see the evidence with their own eyes, and then they wake up. But many people now, like I said, countless numbers now worldwide are seeing that evidence. And it's all, I mean, the internet is just littered with it now. So,
oh, yeah. Well, the only enemy that we really have now is not whether or not the lies are capable of deflecting people. It's whether or not people actually want to look. Okay.
Right.
Once they look, they find out and the truth has become self-evident. But. Yes. Just like, as I mentioned before, with the climate change debate, for example, they don't want to look because they're afraid to be wrong. They're afraid to know the truth. That's right. Really sad. Imagine. Just picture this. We've got virtually an entire global community who is afraid to hear truth.
You're quite right. You know, and people like Al Gore spreading their lies and all that. And I mean, who needs a new tax, for God's sakes? Don't we pay enough taxes? I mean, it's a bit ridiculous.
My point on this is, Rick, can you name me a single human activity that does not produce CO2? No? Okay.
Well,
so ergo to tax CO2 is to tax human existence itself. And that has been a plan all along.
You're quite right, brother. Now, I tell you right now, if we could eliminate people like Al Gore, there would be a lot less problem with CO2.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of hot air that comes out of him, it's unbelievable. But also, it ties into this thing. So people forget what was his name? Eisenhower. He warned about the disastrous rise of misplaced power, whether sought or unsought by the military-industrial complex. The potential for this exists and will persist. It was very prophetic words. And now we have a medical military-industrial complex at the same time. What I feel that you're doing, and as well as many other people along many different fronts, whether that be climate change or whatever, mm-hmm. All we're doing is driving a wedge, okay? There's a big door. It's a closed door, and everybody's got one little wedge, and if everybody hammers that wedge into a different part of that door, its frames will bust wide open, and we will be free. But
that's right.
You know, you've got to have the guts to do a bit of door knocking first.
Yes, you do. And, you know, I mean, people, they often ask me, you know, well, you know, you must have been threatened or, you know, or things like that. And I say, no. No one has ever threatened me. It's a wonder that somebody didn't come shoot me years ago. If they had have, then they could have put an end to this whole thing. You know, if they had got rid of me back in 2004 or so. But now my name has become so wide and well known. And when I went back to Canada, I was stuck in Canada for 11 months here just recently. And not one police officer, no, I shouldn't say that. One police officer did come near me. He was looking for treatment for his daughter. but not one cop came near me. And, you know, I think they understand now that if they put me in a court or something like that, that it would be a very bad scene for them, and it would draw more attention to this. And I think that actually the courthouse would be surrounded because, you know, enough people do know the truth now.
Yeah. Well, it's not so much enough to know the truth. You actually have to stand up for it.
Yes.
I mean, the reason why a lot of people often shy away from debates of this nature is because they're just not informed. And so they go, okay, this debate is over, you're crazy, I'm walking away. And okay, the only reason why you think this debate is crazy is because you don't know what you're talking about, and you couldn't conceive possibly that you could be wrong in any way, shape, or form. You know everything? Is that the reason why you're ignoring me? You know? You've got all available information? I love the ones who say, there's no proof, there's no evidence. Really? Are you telling me there's no proof, no evidence? On the whole planet Earth, be it online, in a book, or in the mind of a scientist, that you, and you alone, are the sole arbiter of all said information, and that you can categorically state that in the existence of all knowledge in the universe, that there is no proof and there is no evidence. Are you willing to swear and sign an affidavit to that effect?
Right. Yeah, it's a good idea. Put the pressure on them. Make them responsible. And this is what we have to do. I mean, if governments don't have, if they're not responsible to their citizens, then who are they? And why
I think
do
it's
we,
garbage.
You know,
it's garbage in, garbage out, though, Rick. You know,
right?
The citizens aren't responsible, and so naturally they elect irresponsible politicians to represent their interest.
Of course, you're quite right, brother.
I mean, it's sad, but it's fucking funny. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Rick Simpson from phoenixtears.ca is my guest. And also, please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com because I'm in a bit of a financial stress plight right at this very moment in time. So any support would be greatly, greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Wayne rappers, but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable, and professional. Do you read me? Am I legible?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about being an edible extraterrestrial. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. AmericanFreedomRadio.com is back online, ladies and gentlemen. It's been down for virtual week, and I like went to it just now before the show. I was like, oh my God, it's back online. I don't have to kill myself in the bathtub tonight.
Oh, Vinnie. You certainly do have the one-liners, brother.
Now, if you have many one-liners, does that count as one-liners or just many liners?
Many liners.
Yeah. Kind of like J.P. Morgan, at the time that he built the Titanic, he actually built two other ships as well that were a similar size as the Titanic.
Yes.
And then he allegedly, deliberately sunk the Titanic with all his competition on board.
Well, that likely is a fact. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, you gotta love those false flags.
Well, I'm excited right now because there's a lot of talk about Tesla and free energy and, you know, all of these things again that's been hidden from us. And to see the attention being paid to Nikola Tesla, I think is wonderful. That man, I really think he was the greatest scientist of all time. You know, he was so far ahead of everyone else. You know, even Albert Einstein, I don't think he could hold a candle to Nikola Tesla.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, somebody asked me once if I could interview anybody living or dead, who would it be? Tesla. No contest. Although Suzanne Posel gave from Occupy Corporatism .com gave a different answer. She wanted to speak to Jesus and find out whether what was actually really going on. And I thought, hey, actually, yeah, that'd be cool too. You know, chill out with JC.
Yeah, why not? And then we could talk to JC about the amazing medicine he used to heal people, which was also full of cannabinoids. I love this. You know, people come to me quite often. I can't use this oil because it would go against my religion. And I look at them and I said, well, do you believe in Jesus? Well, yes. I go to church. And I said, well, why do you refuse to use the same medicine that Jesus Christ himself used? And then they give you this stupid look. And I said, it's been proven the holy anointing oil was full of cannabinoids. It was not the power of God that Jesus was using. It was the power of cannabis. But I honestly think that if there was a man named Jesus Christ walking this earth 2,000 years ago, I believe he was just an ordinary man who was using hemp medicines to heal people. And he achieved wonderful results, and for doing that, they probably killed him.
Yeah. Who do you trust?
That's right, brother.
I mean, seriously, I had a friend back when I was working on the vines after I got busted for selling cannabis. I had to work on the vines for a year and do my community service as well. And she had her father had a T-shirt that said, "Man created alcohol, God created cannabis. Who do you trust?"
Quite right. You know, and here a while ago, too, I was doing an interview in Canada with Ron Stevens, another great activist. And on the same show, he had a gentleman on there named Minister Robin, and kind of a strange title, but a very nice man. So him and I got talking, and he told me, he said, I used to be with the RCMP. And I said, oh, really?
The Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
That's the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And he said that he had actually worked in the upper echelons in CSIS. That's the top of the RCMP. And he said, after a few years, Rick, he said, I seen it for what it was, and he said, I quit. And he said, I looked into the free man on the land movement, but he said it was too convoluted. He said it didn't make sense in some ways. So he said, I started looking into law to find out what law was based on. So he said, what I found, that laws are based on the King James Bible. So a few years ago, I guess Minister Robin, he was growing cannabis. So they came and they raided him and they got a few pounds of pot and they took him into court. So he got up before the judge and he said, before we get underway, he said, I have a couple questions for the court. And the judge allowed it. And he said, would I be right in stating that all laws are based on the King James Bible, or that laws are based on the King James Bible? And the judge said, well, yes. He said, would I be right in thinking that no law can supersede God's laws? And I guess instantly the judge excused himself from the case. Then six more judges did the same thing because they knew that he was going to expose them. And then two prosecutors quit. They didn't know what to do with him. So they took him off in a side room finally, and they looked at him and they said, what do you want? He said, I want you people to leave me alone. They've never come near him since. So
yeah.
this is a nice little thing to know. The next time you go before a judge, ask him these questions. Because these idiotic laws that we're following, that's just paper and ink. These are man-made laws. These are not God's laws.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely true. And it seems to me that being spiritual has very little to do with following religion these days. You know what I'm saying? It's about having moral ethic. And the Bible does clearly outline what moral ethic is. It clearly defines what right is, what wrong is, I believe. And if that is your baseline to go on, the likelihood that you will steal, murder, lie, cheat in many different ways, it just doesn't work. And it's true what you say. Of course, that's what the laws are for, to stop you from stealing, lying, and cheating to a large extent. You know, you can be prosecuted for defamation. You can be prosecuted for theft. You can be prosecuted for murder. You can be prosecuted for rape. You can get divorced for adultery, which in some cases is worse than prison.
Right.
Some might argue that marriage is worse than prison, but they're wrong. It's not that bad. Close. I'm just kidding. I'm about to get married in January, so you know.
I tried the marriage game twice, Vinny, and I've had the same girlfriend now for the last 25 years, and I figure as long as I don't marry her, everything will be okay.
You know, you're probably right. I'll just tell my missus, you know, hey, baby, we'll have a ceremony and everything, but, you know, let's just keep it on the DL.
Right. No, it's been a very strange experience for me, and you know, even today, I look back on the last few years, and it just makes me, you know, wonder how could all of this have happened? How could this be? You know, here I am, you know, I'll be 64 years old at the end of this month. I'm bouncing around like I'm basically a man without a country now, and but you know, just going to all these different countries and meeting all these wonderful actors, it's been a real honor, you know, to play this role. And it's the way I look at it. It's just a role. We all have a role in life, and this just happened to fall into my lap. But if I had to do it all over again, I would do the same thing, Vinny.
Yeah, I think so, because the consequences really do kind of come down on you. I think it was Ayn Rand who once said, you can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. And that's what cannabis legislation does. It ignores reality. And there are consequences everywhere you look. Everybody's sick. People are going to jail for no good freaking reason. You got like what percentage of the U.S. Prisoner population are there for simple possession charges? You know, it's a very high percentage, no pun intended.
Very high.
And incidentally, you can get drugs in prison anyway.
Well, yes, prisons are full of them. You know, but they do have some of the top activists like Eddie Lapp, Roger Christie. There's many of the top activists that have been locked up. I mean, Eddie Lapp's doing a 10-year sentence, for God's sakes. You know, for the simple act of trying to help his fellow man, they throw him in prison for 10 years. I mean, where's the justice in that?
Well, that's why they call it the criminal justice system, because it's just criminal.
It is. You're quite right, brother. But I think that's all going to change in the near future. And, you know, I mean, nobody should go to jail over cannabis, for Christ's sakes. I mean, it's never harmed anyone, and we all know it. You know, but people delude themselves. I mean, I've watched people smoking pot and using, you know, cannabis for, well, over 40 years now. I've never seen anyone harm from it. And that old lame excuse they always use, you know, it's a gateway drug, you know, and if you smoke cannabis, you're going to be on heroin next week. You know, what a bunch of bullshit that is. I mean, we found that, yes, I do agree with the government in one way. It is a gateway drug, but it's not a gateway that's going to lead you to the use of hard drugs. It's a gateway that's going to get you away from it.
Well, it's I believe a statistic was released by in the United States that 87% of illegal drug users only use cannabis, and the remaining 13% found the hard drugs because cannabis is illegal and their dealer offered them other things.
I'm not surprised.
Didn't have a license, didn't ask for ID, nothing.
Right.
There's no
protection.
I mean, there's no quality control.
Well, that's the problem right now, and this is what we need. We need standards, quality control in place, and, you know, like, it would be so easy if people would just understand, look, I mean, we grew this plant all through our history. There was never any problem with it until just the last few decades, and, you know, the propaganda, they put the laws in place, and ever since then, we've been suffering. So, you know, it's not, none of this is based in reality. It's all a big lie. It's all propaganda. And there's not a shred of truth in any of this. I mean, I've read more damn things through my life about all the evils of cannabis, but none of it was true.
Yeah, well, it is propaganda, and you can tell, because if you take a propaganda at it, you'll find there's nothing true. It doesn't make any sense. It is the antithesis to truth. It is the antithesis to justice. It is the antithesis to logic itself. It's the antithesis to humanity. It's the antithesis to everything that is positive and defines us as a decent, nice species. And I think that's why people are so angry and so depressed right now that they actually physically, in their own souls and hearts, justify and think that the human race is a bad thing. It shouldn't be on Earth anymore. Well, yeah, well, I'll tell you what, bro. You first, you know? Volunteer. There are many, many cliffs that you can jump off. Nobody's stopping you. Just F off. Let the rest of us live our lives as we want. We'll be right back.